This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. There's a hearing on Capitol Hill today, and the PBS boss, that's what it says here. Does that mean she's like the CEO? What is a PBS boss? It sounds like a sandwich.
Mafia boss? Title.
Director. Mm.
Director?
Maybe. Isn't PBS public?
Yeah.
Semi.
That's the point.
Yeah.
So her name's Paula Kerger, and she was testifying, and this is what she had to say about PBS.
There's nothing more American than PBS. As a membership organization, our local service is at the heart of our work. Our job at PBS is to support our stations so that local stations can serve their communities. We've been proudly fulfilling our mission for nearly 60 years using the public airwaves and other technologies to help educate, engage, and inspire the American people. That mission is our guide star and remains just as important today as when the Public Broadcasting Act was signed into law in 1967.
So there's nothing, can you think of anything more American, Ryan, than PBS?
Chevy, apple pie, baseball, the sound of a eagle.
That wasn't an eagle.
A diner.
French, a diner with
French
like
fries.
Clanking plates
fries,
and
yeah,
coffee.
Yeah. You know, the
we're just going to do this for the rest of the show. there's just
German chocolate cake.
There's just a few things.
I was starting to go there.
French fries.
Things that are not terribly American are probably still more American than public broadcasting, which is very European and Canadian.
It's kind of a bold statement.
Tractors? Yep.
Okay. He's just reading things off the commercials playing on the TVs in here. He's just listing things. I'm gonna have an ED commercial come
Skiing.
Up next.
GoDaddy. Lamp.
I love Lamp. Everything in government right now, it's kinda interesting to see how many things you realize do have a lot of government involvement and subsidy. Was it UCLA I got to go dig up this story, but there was just like a California public college that's in huge trouble because it was banking on a lot of government subsidies that it's apparently not getting anymore. The question is always, are there people who believe in the things that are, if government is going to get removed from the equation, are there people who believe in the thing, the service, the product that's not going to be provided anymore, enough to fill the gap? And if they're filling the gap and making money off of it, is there anything wrong with that?
No, it's okay. If PBS can be supported by viewers like you, then more power to it. I just think that we're in a spot now.
Napolitano.
Where Silver Report.
Neapolitan.
Neapolitan ice cream.
Yeah.
I think that we have maybe gotten to the point, and I hate to say this because I'm not really opposed to the station. In fact, I had a TV show that ran on that station for 2 years, semi-nationally, that we're just getting to the point where it's not necessary. I hate to say that, but it's they don't have Sesame Street anymore. I don't know if anybody knew that. Sesame Street is not on PBS anymore.
HBO.
HBO doesn't even care about it anymore. They're dropping it.
They still own it, though, don't
I
they?
I think they still have the contract, but they won't for long because they didn't make any money on it either.
Oh, I thought it was because it was in Iraq.
No, that was a different Sesame Street. That was...
That's a different Sesame Street?
That was something similar. Yeah, but all these things, you know, Daniel Tiger is probably their biggest brand, and that's how they're going to make money. PBS is going to make money through the properties that they own. Sesame Street is not one of them. Daniel Tiger is... that if they can make that work, that's how you do it now, is you privatize, you figure out how to make those brands bring in money. And if they can do that, great. If they can't, we're not going to pay for it anymore.
I'm looking forward to seeing the things that go away that people don't miss. And then you wonder, like, oh, we were just doing that to do that?
Yeah. Yeah, we really have been. College, for instance.
Sort of.
I mean, really.
Can be. Speaking of college, we're still in the middle of the March Madness tournament, and so we're paying very close attention to that. We watch a lot of it in our house. It's so frustrating to me. I don't need to get into some big sports conversation now, but the transfer portal, I know tons of people talk about this during college football playoffs, because you've got the playoffs in college football, but then you also have bowl games that aren't exactly part of the playoffs. And a lot of times, if you're not in the playoffs, you just don't play in your team's bowl game because you don't want to hurt yourself because you're going to enter the transfer portal. Maybe you're trying to get drafted or whatever. But people are talking right now, of course, as teams are dropping out. What would we have left? The Sweet 16?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You've got 16 teams left, so everybody else... In that's not very many teams of all the universities, 64 to start, well, 68, I guess, that they have no commitment to the school anymore because they can make big money. Like, I don't really blame them for choosing to transfer to a school if they're like, here's $4 million. Here's, you know, here's life-changing money for you to go play at this maybe lower tier school or whatever. I struggle with it. There are several athletes who have done that, and then the basketball just isn't what they expect it to be, and they've got this pile of money, and I think they're kind of having an existential question of, why did I do this? Is this the right thing to do? I don't know that it's not the right thing to do if you have that much money offered at you, like playing for the name on the front of the jersey when for maybe a scholarship versus playing for millions of dollars. I just feel like societally, there are so few places where the sum is like the whole, the entity that you participate in, where that's ever something more important than just yourself. And I know our Democrat friends are like, so you're communist? And it's like, no, that's not what I'm saying here. But there just aren't very many instances any longer where people commit to something bigger than themselves. And you've got to protect and prioritize your time. And it's a you thing. I think a lot of the feminist push to women to like have careers in their 20s and 30s, and you can have children later on in life. I see these stories all the time about women who are in their mid 30s, or read articles or read Reddit threads about women who are in their mid 30s and they haven't found a man that they want to start a family with. And now they're like trying to start a man find a man just so they can start a family. And it's just so upside down. It's like we had a rubric of, you know, this is traditionally how life can be laid out. It's a good plan. There's nothing wrong with this plan. You want to deviate from it, that's fine. But everything very politically has been pushed to a way to turn over everything we know from our traditional way of living. And now the traditional way is supposed to be some sort of like kind of punk rock way to live your life. That people say that all the time, like, you know, get married young, start a family, have babies, Like, that's supposed to be this
rebel.
Alternative, yeah, way of living. And it doesn't shock me that the way we raise children today, it's like every kid has their own spotlight all the time. And I say this as somebody who is constantly running all over the place to get my kids to the places that they need to be, but always still trying to prioritize the things in our lives that are more important than those said things. But do you see that? Like, just with child rearing, where kids are, their sense of ego is overinflated, and it's really something that comes from inside. It's like the call's coming from inside the house. This is something that is internal, and there's pressure on parents to try to super serve their kids for whatever purpose. It's not like you don't, I don't think that it's something where parents don't want their kids to be sad, or that they're spoiling their kids so that they have everything they want. I think parents are so pressured to try to do everything they can for their kids so that they don't get left behind or whatever.
Because there's so many opportunities that you want to make sure the kid has all the opportunities. Not that you're trying to spoil them. You're just trying to make sure that they're keeping up, because you don't really know. I mean, our kids are, the oldest kids are 10. We don't know what they're going to go into. We don't know what whether they're going to be really interested in coding robots or track. I have no clue. So we just try to do all of it right now and let them kind of wean it down as they're getting older. But that doesn't really happen till late high school, I don't think, maybe college, where you really start to focus in on something. So really your whole childhood, your whole educational career is spent doing as much as possible now.
Well, and sometimes I worry that it's not, that it's more like, if you think baseball is your thing, then you just consume your life with baseball. We used to live in a world where there was baseball season, there was basketball season, there was summer, which was like rec season, and you would try a lot of things and you would experience a lot of things. It's a real challenge, I think, for parents to compete in this environment and to also push back on the need to compete with what everybody else is doing. If you see talent in your kid, you want to like squeeze every drop of talent out of your kid while you can. And it's like you might squeeze out all their interest also.
Yeah. Well, and that way of going about it, where the hyper focus instead of the broad focus, which I was talking about, is a thing too. But it's still the same. It still consumes all your time because you're trying to. And I think we've abandoned that because we realize, you know, I look at a field of kids and I go, how many of these kids are going to end up playing professional whatever, soccer, baseball, whatever? Probably zero.
Yeah, probably none.
And in fact, so if my kid isn't the absolute number one best in this entire league, then there's no point in me spending all of our time doing this one thing. Let them explore it, have fun, but we don't have to just do that.
Do you think that the doting and the hyper focus on all of the things, and it doesn't, I mean, I've seen it with sports, certainly. I've seen it with dance a lot. I have definitely seen it with music, with drama, like participating in plays and all that stuff. Like, you can take a lot of this stuff very far. Horseback riding, you know, those types of things. You can go super far. And the truth is that the people who do make it to the bigs in whatever it is, they probably spent their childhood doing that.
Yeah, now it is.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like the people who are professional whatevers anymore. Like, oh, I didn't pick it up till I was 22.
it's not like watching Hoosiers.
No, and so
I didn't even have a basketball that could bounce.
So you do have to weigh that, but to your point, like if you're at a huge soccer tournament and you see all these kids playing soccer, like how many of these kids are even going to be playing their senior year of high school?
Yeah.
It's less than half.
Yeah. And a lot of parents will justify it by saying, well, but if we can get a college scholarship, which is in reach sometimes, not for many, but for some. But after they've done the calculations of how much you spend on doing all of the sports and all of the stuff and all the equipment that you have to pay, they've calculated that, well, you actually just spent the same amount, if not more, getting to the scholarship.
Yeah, I told that story a while ago of being at the Retirement Advisory Group seminar with Bob and Tammy Kershaw and Thomas Helbig, and just talking to people. And it's ironic because last night when I was at the seminar, I had Game Changer up and I was watching Charlie's game last night. And this was a few years ago. And I talked to this family who had daughters who played softball, and they went all over the place, traveled all over the place. I think they ended up sending their kids. I think they ended up playing softball at Truman State. And like after 1 year, I might be getting the story a little bit wrong. After 1 year, they're like, I just don't want to do this anymore. And it was like, wow, we invested a ton of money in getting you to the place where you could do this. But also, this is what stabs my heart so much time. Precious, precious, precious time. That's why I've pulled back from it a little bit. I'm waiting for, if my kids came up to me like, I really want to play the XYZ club sport or select or whatever, I would look into it for them. But until it's like, Mom, please, can I please do this? And I could find the right club, the right experience for them. I just don't know that I have professional athletes that I'm raising.
Yeah.
I kind of do know, but I don't want to say that publicly.
Money aside, though, the time thing is the most important. You only have so much time with your kids. They only have so much time before they're not kids. I constantly am asking the question when we're going to soccer, when we're going to play, practice, whatever it is with all three of them. Are they enjoying it? If they are, great. Am I enjoying it? If I am, great. Right now matters.
Yeah.
Not just future. Are we having a good time doing this? We're running all over the place every single night till 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
But are we enjoying it? If the answer is yes, great. And we are.
And I hearken back to our childhood. I mean, good grief, how much time did your parents spend doting on you and driving you around to 8 million different things? I mean, yeah, our parents took us where we needed to go, but there was not as much a focus on us growing up in the 90s, 80s, 90s, and the 2000s as parents focus on their kids now.
No, things change. Things move.
It's a very different thing. And I wonder if that hyper focus and that attention, I mean, seriously, if you look at the Jasmine Crocketts of the world and you see how someone like her, and listen, the Republicans have them too. We've had Marjorie Taylor Greene on this show, and I haven't, she's not my style. I'm not like, I wish we had 435 Marjorie Taylor Greens. I understand why she's there and her constituents love her and that's what matters. But the bombastic, in-your-face way of presenting your representation and what we've seen from Jasmine Crockett lately, just very boldly, boldly insulting people, using profane language and saying some really ironically discriminatory things. I just wonder if our culture has set up people to think like, this is what you do. This is how it goes. Let's talk about it when we come back. The YouTube live chat poll for today. Should Congress pass a law banning pharmaceutical commercials? Yes or no? Annie Fry YouTube channel, youtube.com/@AnnieFry, F-R-E-Y. Go vote. Let us know what you think. We've got some comments coming in on the topic as well. Jackie said yes, and stat, the U.S. and New Zealand need to ban pharmaceutical commercials. Network television will lose a lot of funding. That's the interesting part of this. How many of these networks would go kaput if they didn't have the backing of the Pfizers of the world? Should that stop them? Probably not. We'll be right back.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
You guys big Avengers fans? Marvel?
I think Brad probably is more than I am. I like it.
Have you watched the whole, like, Infinity Saga?
Oh, for sure.
Yes. Yes. Although I was just talking to Ethan about this earlier. I think I've watched every movie. I couldn't tell you much about what they are. It's because I just sort of turn them on and then let them play and not pay attention. So I think I've seen them all, but they're just on.
Remember last week when I'd be like, hey, have you heard of this? And you're like, oh, yeah. And then I'd be like, so, and you're like, well, I don't know anything about it.
This is that.
This is the same.
Yeah.
So you haven't sat down and watched them.
I have sat down and had them on.
No! That's not watching them.
Sort of. So yes to your question.
I don't even remember what my question was.
Are we big Avengers fans?
You're not. You've never watched them in order?
No, not in order.
You haven't even watched them.
No, I have seen most of them. But
which ones have you seen?
Which ones have I seen? Just sit here and list Avengers movies?
Yeah.
I think I've seen all the Thor movies.
How many are there?
I have no idea.
Then how do you know you've seen them all?
Because when they come out, I go, oh, that's a new one, and I click on it. You get about halfway through it and fall asleep, wake up next day, probably try to finish it. That's the way I do it. I think I've seen...
If you were to guess how many Thor movies...
I would guess 4 or 5.
I think there are 4.
4.
One of them was really funny.
Ragnarok. 5.
Ragnarok, yeah, that one was good.
Love and Thunder, I think, is the 5th one.
And that one was not as good. I remember that.
I ended up watching that. I ended up watching Love and Thunder when my son and I were both sick with something in maybe the fall, and we hadn't watched it, and nobody else was around. And I didn't know. There was a lot of culture stuff that got shoved into that one, so it was kind of panned by certain audiences. And I didn't know. Some of those movies I don't watch with my little kids because they can be kind of scary.
Mm-hmm.
So he and I watched it. And I was like, eh. I watched it, I think, the way you watch these movies, which is very passively.
Very passively. Although I really did like WandaVision and I liked Loki season 1.
This is not the Infinity Saga.
Oh, that's mm-hmm. afterwards. That's right. Okay.
I don't think Love and Thunder is Infinity Saga either.
No, that's what I said. It's the one that comes after Endgame, which is the end of the Infinity Saga, mm-hmm. as I understand it. Have you seen Captain America movies?
I think I've seen the original one and maybe, are there 3 or 4? I think I've seen...
You're just saying things, Ryan.
2 of them. But I remember the first one very well. Beyond that, I'm like,
what was
yeah.
the first one about?
It's where he's a little bitty Captain America.
Yeah.
And then he becomes big Captain
yes,
America.
Yes, it is. It's a good one. Variety is reporting the Avengers are assembling once again. Marvel's announcing the cast of Avengers Doomsday in a live stream on YouTube and its social media channels. Among the returning cast members are Chris Hemsworth as Thor. I'm in. Anthony Mackie as Sam Wilson, who debuted as Captain America in last month's Brave New World. Didn't see that one. His co-star Danny Ramirez as Joaquin Torres, the new Falcon. Sebastian Stan as Bucky Barnes, the Winter Soldier. Paul Rudd as Scott Lang /
Ant-Man.
He passed that test. Tom Hiddleston as?
Loki.
Letitia Wright as? Shuri.
Yep.
Who took over the Black Panther mantle in Wakanda Forever. That was, I don't think, intended, but what was Black Panther's name?
Chadwick Boseman.
He passed away from, I think, colon cancer.
Yeah.
Some recent newcomers are also being introduced to the Avengers ensemble. They include Vanessa Kirby as the Invisible Woman, Joseph Quinn as Human Torch, and Eben Moss Bachrach as the Thing from this summer's Fantastic Four First Steps. Some other names that are included in this, the mutant cast will include Patrick Stewart, who's Professor Charles Xavier, was killed off in both Logan and Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, but appears to be back. Ian McKellen, who was seen as Magneto in X-Men Days of Future Past, and Kelsey Grammer
as Beast.
Who?
What?
Yeah.
He's back.
Brad's scooping me here. What has he been in?
Kelsey Grammer?
Yeah.
He was Beast in the original, like the old Fox X-Men.
Oh, okay.
I forget.
It says Kelsey Grammer as Beast, who made a cameo in the post-credit scene of The Marvels, and Alan Cumming as Nightcrawler from X2. These are worlds coming together
that I don't
understand.
I want to see like a new Avengers movie that's all really, really old stars. Like, Black Widow is like Angela Lansbury.
Geriatric Avengers.
Yeah, they're all just like way back.
Brought to you by Insure.
Yeah, Frankie Avalon is Captain America.
I just want to get back to good entertainment. I want to get back to good movies. I want to get back to seeing. I mean, when I think of who plays the Hulk, he's crazy.
Oh, Mark Ruffalo.
He's great as the Hulk.
Yeah.
He's absolutely wonderful as the Hulk. Have you seen him? He's in the Avengers movies.
I've only seen
the green one.
I've only seen the Edward Norton version.
Oh.
Oh.
And then he quit?
I quit, yeah.
That's like the second movie.
I know.
He's so good in those. And I can watch the Avengers movies and see Ruffalo as Hulk, and I don't care that he is a left-wing lunatic. That's fine with me. I want to get back to the place where we can be entertained, people can think what they think, they can be just impossibly wrong about their politics, but they're really good at the Hulk, so I'm okay with that. Can we get to that again?
Yeah. Well, I think the right already is mostly there. We've been dealing with it forever. It's that when you come out as a right wing or conservative, that's when you get canceled. So we really need the left to get on board with that plan.
Well, that's not going to happen. And I mean, the cancel culture comes from the left. That's what they've been very good at. But there's definitely cancel culture mentality on the right as well. If you like something that you're not supposed to like, I mean, if you're a conservative and you're drinking Bud Light, who is now not participating in their 30 years running sponsorship of the St. Louis Pride Fest parade, that's quite a statement to me.
Yeah, it is.
I think it would be easier for them to come out with an apology and a commitment to what their values are. And then if you want to still support the Pride Parade, you can still do that. Don't you think? Like,
I actually don't. I think that an apology would just be viewed as more noise. You know, I just don't think that people would take it seriously. They'd say, we'll put some action behind your apology. And that would be this kind of thing.
Don't you think doing stuff like this without an apology is still not enough?
Ooh.
Don't you want, I mean, I've heard you say before that you wanted a public admission that they were wrong.
I wouldn't mind seeing that, but the action is more important. And whether this is, I mean, I guess this is associated with that. It has to be. I don't know why they would do it otherwise. But all the DEI stuff, you know, there's a corporate move across the country right now to disinvolve yourself from anything appearing like DEI. So maybe this is associated with that too.
I just wonder what the like counterpart is to supporting, sponsoring, because they're the lead sponsor. The Pride Fest in St. Louis can't go on the way it did before without Bud Light.
Yeah.
Or Anheuser-Busch. They can't exist in the same way. I don't know how they mend that gap. Maybe there are enough people who sponsor it on their own. They just take donations and they fill whatever check that Anheuser-Busch was writing. I want to know that companies who decided to throw themselves into the middle of a cultural political battle, I want them out of it. I don't really want them to, you know, I want everybody to be on my side, but I don't really think for me that the American thing here is to pound my fist on the table till everybody agrees with me. I just want you to do what you do. Make beer. Make movies. Entertain people. I don't want any politics to be involved in any of it. And they've all been so aggressively active in the culture wars because, again, this is what makes me so mad about it. The only reason they did that is because they thought it was good marketing strategy. There was no true, honest virtue behind any of these companies, any of these influencers or celebrities who would go on their social media platforms and talk about whatever the current, cause du jour is and advocate for it. They did it because they thought it was good for their brand. It was a dollar decision that they made. I don't want everything in our life to have to be political.
Well, it's the same discussion. We've had this for a long time. Not we, but as a nation, we've had this conversation that is entertainment a reflection of culture or is it a driver of culture? And it's really both because they find where the winds are blowing and then they just kind of land there. So they don't really stand for anything, but then they'll stop at that spot and then just push it a little bit. So they do drive it a little bit, but they're really much more of a reflection of where we are because if something is unacceptable, you won't find it in our entertainment. So when we've had all this DEI and this really hard leftward push for, 40 years, maybe longer, it's been because the culture's been moving that way. And this is it feels weird right now, probably to the left, because they're realizing for the first time, at least in my lifetime that I can remember, oh, it's actually swinging back the other direction.
I feel like the Snow White thing is like a hangover of the woke movement, the peak of it, which probably set in around 2019, 2020. So you're making these movies, you're having these ideas, you're hiring these people. And I have a tweet on X right now, a post on X right now showing, I looked last night, seven theaters in the Edwardsville AMC, or seven showings, I should say, of Snow White. And of those seven showings, they had a total reserved 17 tickets.
That thing's not even going to be in theaters next week, or maybe the small one.
It can't be. It can't
There's
be taking
no
up that much space. And yeah. I know that this sounds like, okay, radio talk show lady. They should put Snow White, the original one, in there and invite people to take a stand. Because I would buy tickets. I don't even know if I'd go see it, but I'd buy the tickets. I'd take my kids probably to go see it. But if you gave people the opportunity to vote with their wallets to go say, like, okay, are you really listening on this? Because you can have two theaters, one with new Snow White, woke Snow White, and one with original Snow White. Let us give us the opportunity to clearly send you a message. They're going to make money off of it, but then they got to commit to it. And this is the key point. If they wanted to change the story around a little bit of Snow White, I don't think Disney owns Snow White. It's a Brothers Grimm tale or something like that. They made it into a movie. It's Walt Disney didn't manifest Snow White into existence, but he did manifest it into film and history. If you know of Snow White, you know of Snow White because of Walt Disney. That's just the simple truth of the matter. If you want to change that story, you could change it a little bit. You could put a twist on it. I really like the Beauty and the Beast live remake, and I didn't watch it until way after it had come out. I was kind of boycotting it, but I really like what they did with it. It's like an alternative version of the story because it tells a little more detail about a few certain things, but it doesn't dramatically change the nature of the story. But I watched it and I liked it. I just thought that it was a neat presentation of it. I'm interested in seeing Lilo and Stitch when it comes out at the end of May. Like, you can do these things. You can even change the story. If you even wanted to change the Snow White story because you wanted to give her a little more autonomy, okay, fine, go with it. But Disney, how can you stand by Rachel Zegler going out and saying the things she said? The absolute, she said, she's like, I don't want Trump people lining up to see my movies. I don't want those people coming to see me. Like, good. Thanks for telling us. I would have been really pissed if you had said that after I went and saw your movie. But now I know, and I'm not seeing it. Like, the whole point that I think so many consumers are making by not seeing this Snow White is that Disney, through this actress, gave the middle finger to a majority of the United States of America and expected us to just go along with it. We're not there anymore. We're not doing that anymore. And I think that there's a huge opportunity for companies like Disney. You know, maybe we're seeing that with actions that we're seeing from Anheuser-Busch. And then, of course, the Avengers, the Marvel stuff, like the stuff that came out after the Infinity Saga, everything had a culture angle to it. Everything had a point. And if you didn't walk out of that movie learning your lesson, then you failed. Well, guess what? I'm not going to see your movie to learn lessons. I'm going to be entertained. Get back to that. I mean, whoever does that, they're going to make a lot of money. And that used to be the driver of things. Now they virtuously love losing money.
Well, it's so weird. It's so specific because Disney, like you said, they really established what is Snow White. Yes, it existed before, but that's what everybody thinks of is the original animated movie. There were other Snow White movies between now and then that Disney didn't own, like Snow White and the Huntsman came out in 2012.
Daily Wire did one.
Did they?
Yeah, with Brett Cooper, I think.
So Snow White and the Huntsman had Kristen Stewart. Chris Hemsworth was in it too. Mm-hmm. Charlize Theron. It did fine, 72%. I just looked it up just to see. 72% of people liked that movie. It wasn't a push of anything other than just, oh, here's a different version mm-hmm. of the tale you already know. Disney decided to basically destroy the original movie that they own. Why? Why are you doing this?
Ron said Disney also dissed the little folks by trying to make the dwarves diverse and then did CGI. I mean, it's that type of nonsense. It's like, guys, it doesn't even make sense. You've had so many meetings where you've talked out all of these things so much that you can't even hear common sense. It's like banging on the door like, no, don't do this. This is so stupid. And they're like, no, we've talked about it enough in here. We've made our decision. Like, just wake back up.
Yeah.
Wake back up to the real world. I, for one, am excited. I'm 40. I got a lot of life to live. I'm not going to live my whole life being angry and trying to make sure that I can check the conservative report card of every entertainment industry or thing that I want to consume. But if you're going to send your lead actress after you've made some decided changes to the story, if you're going to send the lead actress out there to crap all over the original Snow White and tell us all who she is going to approve to come to her movies and who she's not, you're getting what you deserve right now. 17 tickets reserved last night, probably a few more today, in those AMC Edwardsville theaters for Snow White in 7 full shows. And they are in the big theaters. It's crazy. All right, quick break when we come back. YouTube live chat poll results. Should Congress pass a law banning pharmaceutical commercials? Yes or no? You want no more Ozempic? Is that what it is?
I think you might be conflating that with the O'Reilly song a bit.
What is it? Oh.
It is O-O-O, but yeah. it's magic.
Ozempic.
That's it.
You know that you. Yeah. No. Apparently we need to hear it at least one more time. Or not. We'll be right back. You gone through. Did you see this story a little bit earlier from this week about 23andMe?
Yeah.
You guys, have you done it before, Ryan?
I did one of them, but I don't remember which one.
Ryan's like, I held the box one time, and I might have done it. That depends on how tightly I held the box.
I remember glancing at it.
I remember, I'm aware of it.
I walked past it in the aisle of a Walmart.
Ryan knows a little bit of everything.
I know that genetic testing exists and that they might have my genes.
You've done genetic testing?
Yeah, I have.
Are you glad you did it?
Not really.
Did you do it because you wanted to do it, or was it somebody like, oh, we should do this?
Yes, the second one.
What about you, Brad?
I have never done it. I was nervous about it the first time it came out, and I was like, no, I'm not doing that. I don't like getting stuck with needles anyway.
Fox News says genetic testing company 23andMe filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection to help the $50 million company sell itself. This was announced on Sunday. 23andMe's saliva-based kits have been helping customers learn about their ancestry since 2006. It's been around for 20 years. And the company said it will continue operating while the bankruptcy court facilitates the sale process. News of the move raised concerns about how the personal data of millions of 23andMe customers will be handled. Fox News reports California Attorney General Rob Bonta issued a consumer alert regarding the, quote, trove of sensitive consumer data 23andMe has amassed, reminding Californians that they have the right to direct the company to delete their genetic data, destroy their test samples, and revoke permission for genetic data to be used for research. 23andMe said in a media release, there are no changes to the way the company stores, manages, and protects customer data. That's a non-answer.
Yeah.
There are no changes.
Yeah, we haven't changed anything. We don't know if you liked the way we were doing it before.
But it's the same.
We're still doing that.
The company has experienced tumult in recent years. Last November, 23andMe said that it was cutting its headcount by 40% or more than 200 employees. See, this happens. Well, it's a side note.
Yeah, but when it's a private company, it's 200 employees.
Yeah.
When if it's a government agency, it's 10,000.
43% of them.
Yeah, exactly.
Co-founder and CEO Ann Wojcicki has resigned after multiple failed takeover bids, Reuters reported, but said she said on X that she did it, quote, so I can be in the best position to pursue the company as an independent bidder. I never did it. I never wanted to do it. It makes me uncomfortable.
I did it.
What?
I did the cheek swab.
Yeah.
I sent it in.
Did you find anything out?
The
problem.
Well, I knew. I was like, I bet they find out I have cystic fibrosis. That would be super interesting. I sent it off, and then they gave me instructions to go find what, you know, what the results were.
Your long-lost sister?
And I went to look at the results, and it was like it wasn't populated. And I'm like, well, this, you didn't give me much here.
So you didn't get anything out of it?
I didn't really get much, yeah. It was like they were intending to, like, more information to come. And there was never...
Did you have to put a quarter in the machine or something?
I think so. Yeah, I didn't turn it hard enough.
But you don't know if it was 23andMe.
I can't remember which one it was.
I feel like I know of people in my personal life who have, like, discovered half-siblings.
It's cool when you hear those stories.
Yeah.
When people who are really into genealogy and can trace back their family
That's
history,
my mom.
These giant trees, it's pretty neat. But I don't know how to do it, and I'm not the person in my family doing it. I just did it for that person.
YouTube live chat poll. Should Congress pass a law banning pharmaceutical commercials? Yes or no? What do you think, Ryan?
I used to be a no on this because of the free market, and I said, this is a private enterprise. I have completely changed my mind. I am a full yes on this.
Brad, what do you think?
I'm a no. I don't know to what extent people are even making their decisions on their pharmaceuticals. I know I don't. I consult my physician, and like it's just noise in the background, maybe annoying, but I don't know how much impact it actually has on what people use.
I think that I'm a no-leaning yes, but I want to know exactly the paper trail of money that's exchanged between a patient and a doctor when I go in. I'm like, can I have pill ABC? And they're like, oh, I sure can. You asked for it. And then who's getting the kickbacks on that? So we asked you that question. 84% of 271 votes said yes, ban it. It's wild.
Wow.
Mark Reardon next.